One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, low to the waist, a Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
We're back, Morton Hoof. We're back with more Saturday Morning Apocalypse and...
Wait, what was that over there?
Is that a ghost?
Oh, Dave, don't be silly. There's a logical explanation for this phenomenon that we can use rationale to uncover.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there, Hoof. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Morton Hoof.
Hello there, and we're here to solve some mysteries.
And I'm going to stop you right there, buddy. I'm tired of you gaslighting me whenever I see ghosts. I'm talking ghosts of, like, the nautical kind with, nautical kind with pirate ships. I'm tired of you saying that I'm not seeing ghosts in knight's armor. They're there, man.
Yeah, I know you think you see that, but with a little more investigation, and if we make sure we have our glasses, you know, we'll uncover the mystery.
Stop gaslighting me, Fred!
Yeah, it's funny. And stop breaking into every house we encounter.
Why do we keep driving around in these haunted forests? Why do we always have to take the shortcut? It always leads us to doom.
Encountering strange creatures.
Well, we said we were going to do Scooby-Doo, like, I think over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago at this point, like, when I think it was our No Time to Die episode. We were talking about what we wanted to do for the following year, for, the far-off year of 2023. Oh, wait a minute, I probably shouldn't state a specific year. Maybe we do that.
2023
XXX. XXX, yeah. The timeline in the wasteland is so confusing. But anyway, I was talking about, like, what did we want to do? Like, we were spitballing ideas for what we would do for the next year. And Scooby-Doo came up for Saturday Morning Apocalypse. And it took a while to come to fruition. Like, we had the Robopod kind of, like, you know, commandeered Saturday Morning Apocalypse. Like, it pushed in and just, you know, took the whole thing, stole a programming slot. But now we're back with you know, kind of different cartoons, and we're finally touching on Scooby-Doo. Specifically in this episode, we're doing a double feature like we always do with Saturday Morning Apocalypse. We're doing season one, episode one, the first ever episode of Scooby-Doo from the series Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? What a night for a night. I gotta say, these, I do like the names. They're funny names.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, that's just a consequence of for the RoboCop cartoon. We talked about the whole series. So, yeah. So that took some time. But yeah, it is nice to be back and talking about different cartoons. And especially it's interesting. As, well, you didn't reveal the second episode/movie that we watched, but from different kind of seasons and timelines almost, and to see how they can they're similar and different, how the show has stayed the same. And I don't know, like we're talking Scooby-Doo and you know, this is an older cartoon, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what, because I don't know really your history with Scooby-Doo. I have a history with it. And so, yeah, I think it's an interesting cartoon, especially in the place of pop culture in general.
Well, I'll tell you my history of it. My history of it is just the cultural osmosis, just like, you know, I just kind of get it from pop culture. This is actually the first episode I've ever watched.
So you didn't ever watch it as a kid?
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, if I did watch Scooby-Doo, I've always been aware of Scooby-Doo. It's kind of one of those things that's impossible to not at least hear about or see see the gang together in a picture or whatever. But if I did watch Scooby-Doo, it's one of those things where like Sesame Street, for instance, where I watched it when I was so young that I have no memory of it.
Right. So you don't have any memories, though, as like a kid playing with toys and watching Scooby-Doo?
Not at all. Not at all.
That's interesting. Yeah, I remember... I grew up when I was a kid. I would be watching with my grandma, and I would watch a lot of cartoons at that time. And Cartoon Network during the day, especially, was great at that time for watching older cartoons. So Scooby-Doo was a good one.
That's like
where
all they had when they started up, it seems.
Well, they had a lot of like Scooby-Doo, Space Ghost. There's
Hanna-Barbera, basically.
Yeah, basically Hanna-Barbera.
Back in the
you know,
day
Wacky
when
Races.
Cartoon Network came on, it was basically the Hanna-Barbera channel.
It was pretty much, but there were so many different characters, right? Like they had, I don't know if you remember the like all the intertitles and stuff like that, or the bumpers that would be like all these characters.
Vaguely. Yeah.
How long has Velma been wearing that neck brace? It's a turtleneck? Oh, don't I feel silly? Scooby-Doo will be right back on Cartoon Network.
I remember Scooby-Doo. It was never my favorite, but I definitely watched it as a kid. Like I liked the monsters or the spookiness of it. I think it's fun watching this going back, because something I forgot is that Scooby-Doo has a laugh track.
Oh my God. Can we just get into the laugh track right now, Nick?
I think it's appropriate.
All right. Did you have any other thoughts on kind of your history of Scooby-Doo? Or
I mean, I think
you just nailed on the thing that is my main sticking point with this show.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go. Lay your cards on the table.
Hated the laugh track so much so where it's literally I fixated on it. I was like, I couldn't, like, you can't get away from it. In this episode, What a Night for a Night. It's everywhere. It's every single line that's spoken, whether it's supposed to be a joke or not, gets a laugh track accompaniment. And it drove me nuts to the point where I'm like, in a 20-minute cartoon, I'm already checking the time and I'm like, oh my God, I'm only halfway through.
Yeah,
I despised it.
It's funny. I get what you're saying. I went through a similar. I went through what you were going through, but then I think I became a captive and gave myself over to it, because I actually, there was a moment. I forget
okay,
what.
Okay, Scooby-Doo, I'll start laughing. Just end the episode, for the love of God.
It's like, I remember there was a moment where I engaged in like a brief existential conversation with myself about laugh tracks. I was like, what is this thing doing? Because it's been a long time since I've watched anything with a laugh track, to be honest. And so, but it was so aggressive here. And I was like, what is this like? And so I was thinking, like, all of a sudden, and I was watching this later at night, I was like, oh my God, I am back in the days of like being like a mindless teen or a kid just staring at a TV screen with like sensorial prompts being blasted at you. And it all was like very, it was perfect nostalgia, honestly. At least for the first episode, because I will say, like, the one that we watched, the movie, I did not like as much. I couldn't get into that as much. But this first episode, at some point, I think it was halfway, honestly, where I was like, oh, I feel like I'm understanding what it's doing. Like, this is nonsense, but it's let me just try, because an advantage to it is that it was like 20 minutes.
Well, it's like, I got the sense, because I was at a certain point very quickly, because the laugh track begins early and does not relent. At a certain point, I just kind of stopped paying attention to what was happening story-wise, because I was so fixated on the audience. And I was like, I was just thinking of like the decisions made as far as when they're going to have the audience laugh track play. And I was literally at every point. And at a certain point, I started thinking to myself, it's almost as if, like, if I'm watching this from the perspective of an audience watching this, from this specific audience, I got the sense that, like, it was almost like they showed this cartoon to people who had never... by the way, let me preface this by saying I realize that this didn't actually have a live audience. They're layering audience laugh track sound effects in. But, like, if the idea is that an audience is watching this, like, you get the sense... I got the sense that, like, it must be an audience that had never seen a cartoon in their lives, had no idea cartoons existed, had no concept of, you know, the general like film language of what cartoons typically do, like cartoons move in unrealistic ways and do unrealistic things. You know what I mean? Because like the audience laugh track would pipe in when they would just like do something that would be a normal cartoon thing for a cartoon character to do. Like, you know, like run really fast or like, you know what I mean? Or like go real fast in one direction and then instantly go in the other direction. Like they were laughing at things that I'm like, these are not jokes. Why are they layering in laugh track? It makes no sense, and it was driving me mad, Nick.
Well, I empathize with your feelings of the laugh track, but I don't necessarily think I agree with, like, I think there's strategy behind the laugh track.
We're going to layer this in until you start laughing. Like, yeah, this is coercion, Nick.
It is, because, this is, 1969, right? And I'm thinking about, like, kids in 1969. Like, what else is going on? Like, I think there's something to this idea. And, again, this is more like laugh track theory, I guess. But, like, if you put something, like you exactly said, like someone flipping around real quick in a goofy way. In another cartoon, there's no laugh track. In Scooby-Doo, there is a laugh track.
Always a laugh
Is there... this space in cartoons where it becomes funnier with the laugh track, and it becomes more, addictive, for a lack of a better word, for a kid that's eating like this sugary ass cereal, playing with his action figures, hyped up on the stuff that was in the 60s air. I don't know, but just like, I think like there's a thing to this cartoon that makes it very manic almost.
It's certainly manic. I don't know. It would have been different if there were actual jokes, but it's just them doing general cartoon things.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, the laugh track is almost like an ambient music at some point. Like, it becomes that almost. Like a background noise. I totally get what you're saying, because I think I felt that way in the beginning, but I just started like trying to deconstruct it. I'm like, what is this doing?
Yeah, that's what I was doing in my mind. Like I said, I wasn't even really paying attention to the episode. I couldn't help but just fixate on the audience laugh track. And initially my first thought was maybe their idea is like, oh, the audience is laughing because these stupid stone teenagers, because that's another point we can address right now. Maybe not the rest of the gang, but definitely Scooby and Shaggy are basically their depictions are of stone teenagers, right?
I mean, yeah, that's there's an implication that they might
heavy
be
implication.
This mystery's got me baffled.
Well, it's got me like hungry. When do we eat?
Let's see.
But I think I'm wondering if that's what it is, because as you said, this came out in 1969. So I'm guessing the people making this probably are, well, who knows? But I'm gonna venture a guess that they're not part of the. And I could be totally off on this. I'm sure Scooby-Doo fans are like, no, you're wrong. But I was going to say, like, I'm wondering if this was not made by what you would call flower children or anything like that, like hippies or anything. Like, I kind of got the feeling that they were sort of, like, poking fun at that generation that was so prevalent at the time. And look, oh, isn't it all funny? These guys are all scared all the time, and they're clearly stoned out of their minds, and all they want to do is just eat because they had the munchies. Isn't it hilarious? And I'm just, I don't know. I just... This whole thing, the only thing
that's
that
proto stoner comedy, Dave.
The only thing I enjoyed from this episode was the theme song, and I feel like Scooby Doo was kind of the epitome of one of those cartoons back in the day that where you would, when it came on, you would only watch the theme song because the theme song was great and the intro, and then you would change the channel. I feel like that's the epitome of Scooby Doo for me.
Well, I mean, I also love the theme song. The theme song's great, but I also...
It's undeniably good.
I mean, for me, though, the older I get, though, Scooby-Doo actually becomes a bit more important in kind of like a cultural sense because of the... At least in the original series, like this first episode that we watched, the foundational truths of Scooby-Doo, which is that the monster is always actually just... an evil grown up, and so the philosophy actually of Scooby Doo is the heart of a skeptic.
I'm sorry,
it's true.
I feel like I'm at like a college course of like the philosophy of Scooby Doo with your
professor.
Hey man,
I hear you. I hear what you're saying loud and clear. I don't discount anything you said.
I just never expected to hear those two words together: Scooby Doo and philosophy.
Well, when you come to Saturday Morning Apocalypse, you're going to get some philosophy, buddy.
I'm sorry, Professor. Continue with your lecture.
The philosophy of Scooby-Doo is actually, I mean, it's the heart of a skeptic.
Is everyone gaslighting Shaggy and Scooby? Like, you didn't see any ghosts. You didn't see anything. Shut up.
That's the whole thing. It's like the whole world tells you about these fairy tales, you know, like, so you can think of this as anything from Santa Claus to maybe religion if you want. And it's the idea that these kids are being told and being persuaded by outside forces, and specifically grown-ups, usually trying to make money typically. And the kids like pursuing the truth and unmasking them to reveal that it's not something supernatural. It's not something that is unexplainable. It is actually just an evil man or woman or a grown up.
It's the man.
The man. Yeah. Then, you know, those evil businessmen, you know.
Just as we thought.
It's the curator, Mr. Wickles.
We've got to hand it to you, kids. We never would have suspected Wickles as the art swindler.
Boy, it was a neat setup. He and his gang were switching their fake pieces of art for the real ones in the museum.
And they made the fakes at night in a secret workshop behind the mummy case.
That's why they had to get rid of the professor. He was the only one who could have spotted the fakes.
So, I mean, it's funny because, and I think, like, that's kind of reaching out on a limb. I'm totally willing to admit that. But I do think that there is a heart of Scooby-Doo that does teach that. At least, I mean, nowadays there have been Scooby-Doo incarnations with real monsters, which is kind of interesting in a sense, I guess. But at least the original Scooby-Doo did have that, and it was consistent. Like, it was guaranteed it was part of the formula, and I think that's baked into what the show was like overall teaching, actually. Because I mean, there, if you think about other shows, you know, even into the 80s, where it always has to end with like a lesson, lesson that these kids are continuously learning is that, oh, it's just an evil grown-up.
Well, you mentioned a brief aside. You mentioned kids, and I called them teens earlier. I know they're supposed to be teens or whatever, but they don't look like kids to me. Like, they look like 20-somethings. Am I the only one?
Dude look like adults, yes.
Especially Shaggy. Like, if there are teens, Shaggy is definitely the one perv, like, you know, late 20s, early 30s guy hanging out with these teenagers. Like, get Shaggy out of there.
Oh, man, I think Shaggy looks like 24 to me.
Yes, yes. He's the guy that never graduated. He just kept hanging around the high school. I remember he did graduate, but he just kept hanging around the high school for some reason. Like, get Shaggy and his creepy dog out of here. They creep me out.
Well, you know, it's funny. Which episode was it? The one with the the first episode with the museum. I think the reason they keep Shaggy around is because he just does all the dumb stuff that Fred tells him to do. Like,
That's interesting. To speak to Fred, a little bit of trivia, and I had to look because I'm like, did I miss it? His name is never spoken in this episode.
Oh.
I'm like, because, and as someone who's never seen Scooby-Doo and is only like, it's like, all right, there's Thelma, Shaggy, Scooby.
Velma,
right. See, I don't know anything. I'm like, what's the guy's name? And it never said. And I'm just like, what? And that was one of the things that baffled me about this episode. So we're watching the first episode of Scooby-Doo ever, 1969. And there's no real, what I would call a proper introduction to the characters. It opens with Scooby and Shaggy just walking through this clearly haunted looking forest. I guess they went to the movies. They stayed late, and
They took a wrong turn,
which I get the feeling happens in every single episode of Scooby-Doo. It's like, oh, we took a wrong turn from the thing.
What a nervous night to be walking home from the movies, Scooby-Doo. And all because you had to stay and see Star, Dog Ranger of the North Woods, twice.
I'm watching this thinking, like, who are these people? Like, this is the first episode. Like, what the? They're just, you watch this and you get the sense,
hey,
like,
they were at the movies and they hit five joints. They didn't say it.
I had the feeling that I was stoned watching this because I was just like, wait a minute. Like, this is the first episode, right? Because if it was, there would clearly be a more proper introduction to these characters. Like, who are these people? What are their names? Why are they here? I got the sense that I was watching episode like 8 or something in season 2 because this is the first episode and they do nothing to introduce the characters.
I don't think that's a fair criticism at all. Like, that's.
Well, what about the Scooby gang? Like, well, okay. So Shaggy and Scooby, it's like, all right, these are two just clear. The stoner guy and his dog are walking through the forest. They stayed out too late, took a wrong turn from a movie they saw. It's like, okay, fine, that's their bit. But then it cuts to the rest of the gang just driving around in a van that's called the Mystery Machine, and we get no like real introduction.
What more do you need to know than
if they're related? It's like, what are they doing? What's their deal? I don't know because the show isn't telling me.
You should know respectfully because the van has a giant pair of words that says mystery machine
on it. Oh, that tells me everything.
Yeah, they solve mysteries. That's it. I think it sounds so funny because it's like, this isn't like an episodic show, like where each episode like builds itself.
I'm not expecting it to be, but like, and you would think if it's the very first episode, they would bother to introduce the characters in a meaningful way other than, here they are. You know what I mean? It's just like, and they're doing stuff. They don't even tell you Fred's name. Come on.
To keep you guessing so you watch the next episode.
Oh my God. Oh, I really enjoyed the episode. I got to watch the next one. What was the name of that guy with the ascot? I got to know.
If I would have guessed, that's what you would have thought.
Well, you're wrong, Professor.
Really, it's because you don't understand the philosophy of Scooby-Doo.
I just couldn't believe it. They were making no effort. They weren't bothering at all to be like, Well, just a token, like, hey, we're such and such. Like, they meet some other character, like, who are you guys? Oh, we're such and such. We solve mysteries. Okay, perfect. Done. That's all they needed to do. But they didn't bother to do that. It's just these random teens driving around in a hippie van entitled The Mystery Machine, looking for their high friend and his dog.
I get it. I mean, it's... Here's another thing about the show that I think was... I got a real kick out of thinking this. I think the show is actually really lazy.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so it's not really trying that hard to do anything.
It's
except,
like, why does this show even exist?
It exists because it's really quirky. Like, it's very it has these cool monsters. Like, this is so quirky. Like, I think there's a freneticism almost to this show.
It is manic for sure.
And I think it captures a very specific energy that I definitely don't want to have a prolonged exposure, but I think
like
that,
say 40 minutes.
Well, yeah. So the second one we watched with the Globetrotters was way too long. And that one had like way more wasted space. So it's like,
we'll talk about that one on our next Scooby-Doo episode. Hopefully that'll be our last Scooby-Doo episode. If I have anything to say about it, damn it.
I got to find one that's good.
It would be the same thing. And we'll talk more about, like, you know, because the Globetrotters episode, or I should say, quote, new movie, was in 1972, a few years after this. So we'll talk about that in our next and hopefully final Scooby-Doo episode that we do for Saturday Morning Apocalypse. But again, I'm watching this first episode. And I already know, like, this is everything. This encapsulates all of Scooby-Doo. It's just every single episode is going to be them just dicking around in a what looks like a clearly haunted forest. Like, you would think at a certain point they would just like, hey, maybe you would steer clear of that clearly creepy looking forest. But they nevertheless just plow through each time. And it's going to be them walking around. Something scary happens, or something that looks like a ghost or something or whatever. Scooby and Shaggy are going to get scared. They're going to run off. Everyone else is, and especially, I think, Velma? Velma. I keep wanting to say Thelma. Velma's going to be like, oh, you guys are so such thing. Fred's going to say, oh, let's check it out, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, this is every episode. And it's just like, I'm like, how did this last for so long through so many incarnations? It's all the same.
Okay, here's the thing, Dave, though. I'm not going to disagree with you, but I think you're missing the bigger picture, the forest from the trees. Like,
what am I supposed to be getting from this, Professor?
The thing is, it's fine. It's fine if you think that, because you're not wrong. But the thing is, you've also echoed the same structure of the majority of, like, just regular old horror films. And there's still things that you take away from those movies, which is fine if you didn't like Scooby-Doo, because I totally get it. But the structure is like, it's a very, very basic, like bones level basic of a horror film.
Well, I had the thought, because as I was watching it, I did have the thought, and this more occurred to me in the second episode, because, like, at that point I felt like battered and beaten by this fucking show, because I'm like, I hate this so much. I think this is the first Saturday Morning Apocalypse we've done where I've truly hated what I was watching. I couldn't stand it. The only redeeming thing was the theme song. But I did have that thought where I was like, because I was thinking about it, like, this is just the same thing every episode, isn't it? But then I started thinking, like, well, I mean, I guess you could apply that to a lot of cartoons, a lot of different types of movies, like you said, horror movies. What sets those apart from this? Why do I enjoy, like, some of that other stuff that's kind of doing the same thing and not this? And I think with those, they, at the very least, even the worst ones, give some sort of lip service to an actual plot. You know what I mean? Like, this is just nothing. Like, I think
there's another thing about this, about Scooby-Doo specifically, that is, I think, answers or explains why, because it's not trying to offer you a plot. What Scooby-Doo is actually offering you is almost this, kinetic movement from room to room, because because if you notice, a book of Scooby-Doo is characters running, right?
That's all it is, running from different room to different room while, like, a guy dressed up as a ghost in a ghost costume is like, and at a certain point, like, they'll run into each other and they'll go, burr, and then maybe the bad guy will run away from them. Boo! It's like, it's all the same. There's no variation.
No, I do give you that. And it's a sense, it's like, I think it comes down to whether you like this formula or not. Because, for example, you know how much I love Power Rangers. Power Rangers episode, literally the same thing every episode. You know, there's a fight.
Well,
they transform. They fight again. They're bigger.
I beg to differ. In just the one or two Power Rangers episodes I've seen for this very show, we had some mythos with the Power Rangers, especially when I don't remember the name of the episode. It had something to do with the Green Ranger, but the Green Ranger like thought he let somebody down or let somebody die, and he's going through like this, you know, like he's just super depressed. You're not gonna get anything like that with Scooby do. You're not going to get an episode where Shaggy's like, I let Scooby down. I let him die, Fred. His blood is on my hands.
Actually, Dave, you're talking about Super Sentai, which is not Power Rangers. So
no,
the emotional
depth. Power Rangers, the Green Ranger. Don't you remember the episode we watched where like they're watching like hologram videos of him like crying in the park or something?
Oh, yeah. That.
That's mythos, buddy.
Okay, I just think you are like cartoons are much different at this time.
They're not serialized like you mentioned.
Like this is like the cartoon. I don't know. Like I think this is a really interesting like very early like you know what would it be like Looney Tunes than this or something like that. Like,
but Looney Tunes had actual jokes though.
I give you that, but I think that Looney Tunes is operating they're operating for like a goal oriented laugh, which makes sense, and that's the more traditional route.
Well, and also, but, and I think the big factor here is the laugh track. Like, it got me thinking watching this. I'm like, how many cartoons had laugh tracks? Were they all Hanna-Barbera comedy cartoons? Like, or well, supposed to be comedy?
That, and I was thinking that too, because I was wondering, you know, I was thinking about, because I used to even watch like Yogi Bear, and I don't remember if there was a laugh track or anything like that.
I was about to say, and then I stopped myself. It's like Yogi Bear is like an actual, like, I don't know. I feel like they're going with comedy with that. Well, I guess comedy is subjective.
Here's the thing.
There's apparently a ton of people out there who think that Scooby-Doo and Shaggy getting scared of things and running is like the height of comedy. And
I know that.
To judge, it's like everyone finds something.
Oh my gosh, Dave, that's such hyperbole. Who is out there saying, oh, Scooby and Shaggy are the absolute height of comedy? I mean, it's...
Well, maybe not the height of comedy, but find it funny at all. There's people that think this is funny, and it's like, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I don't find it funny. If you find it funny, that's totally cool. Comedy, art is subjective, especially comedy. But it's just like, to me, there's just not enough meat on the bone here to grasp onto. It's just so flimsy.
See, I agree with I at least understand where you're coming from, because there's a part of me that agrees with you in terms of like there's not any meat on the bones in any of these episodes for sure. But I also don't like this to me, it's funny because this is similar to like that kind of cotton candy entertainment that, you know, is not so dissimilar from other things that, you know, are still going around, like just the very, you know, it's sensational, like it's supposed to be very like cocaine-esque, I feel like.
This is, if we want to compare this to McDonald's, like we did with Halloween movies, this, you could compare this to McDonald's in a way where it's like, I'm going into Scooby-Doo, and I know I'm getting the exact same thing every time, and I gotta imagine that's probably a comfort for some people, similar to when someone goes to McDonald's. Like, when I buy, and we've said this on the Halloween episodes, like, when I go into McDonald's and buy a quarter pounder with cheese, I don't want there to be any variation. I know exactly what I'm getting, and I'm gonna be pissed if it's not exactly the same as it's always been. You know what I mean? There's like a degree of like certainty. Like, I know what I'm getting when I go into Scooby-Doo.
I think, yeah. Okay, so what McDonald's item, menu item, do you rate Scooby-Doo?
Well, that implies that there was some. Well, all right, fine. I would say, what's the lamest thing at McDonald's? I don't know. I just meant that it's samey. Like when you go to McDonald's, it's always the same.
Okay, so I'm gonna rate Scooby-Doo one vanilla ice cream cone. So people like that.
Yeah, and again, people like what they like. That's fine.
And it's an institutional tradition. Like
Scooby-Doo is still, an institution. Okay,
you still go to McDonald's in the Apocalypse Wasteland that we have now, and they still have that. It's one of the few remaining items. Because like Scooby-Doo, it's never going away.
I'm trying to like grasp, like, what did I like? Like, was there anything?
It's okay if you hate it, Dave. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Well, I just don't want to be like, you know, all like purely negative. Like I mentioned at the top, like the theme song is great and iconic. Like the theme song is something like I could easily picture like the Monkees covering this, you know, on their show or something, or even it like I could see like someone played this at Woodstock and everyone's like, oh, it's the Scooby-Doo theme, man. That's awesome. And the audience erupts into applause.
You know what's funny? We didn't even, I mean, I know you're going to joke, but we didn't even say the plot of this episode. Like I said there was a museum, but I thought like, okay, what about the moment when Scooby pulls out like the pilot, like Red Baron cap for his goggles or whatever in the plane?
That was what I was going to say. There's a part at the end when they jump it, they hide from the ghost or they think the ghost knight in what looks like the spirit of St. Louis or something. And then they wreck it. Like they drive. The only reason that they defeat. They fly a whole ass plane in a museum. It crashes into the wall. It hurts the bad guy who's in the knight costume. And they only inadvertently captured the knight by their buffoonery. And I'll be honest, like that actually made me chuckle a little bit because I had the thought like, so is every episode end with Scooby and Shaggy doing something really stupid and accidental to end up unwittingly defeating the villain, you know?
They also
and
got
somehow them crashing. You know what it was? I think it was the idea that they crashed this historical plane that made me laugh.
I thought it was funny that they were like driving this whole ass plane through like a museum hallway.
The goggles were the cherry on top when they put the goggles on. I was like, they just had these goggles. And that's a funny cartoon thing. You know, that's a funny thing that cartoons can do, that they can like pull something out of their ass, literally, just for the gag. And that's funny to me.
Well, and
that's
Looney Tunes. And I was thinking that Scooby-Doo was really invoking the spirit of Snoopy at that point. And I love when I feel like art talks to each other. And I feel like that was a moment like Scooby was taking off from Snoopy.
Or it could have been the creators being like, never mind that dumbass dog Snoopy. Scooby is here, man.
Another thing that I got a kick out of in this episode was there was this professor that was revealed to be kidnapped or whatever. He was tied up and he was hiding in like this costume. So no one recognized
him. He was like, stashed away in one of those things where like you just see the eyes move. And that was actually a funny revelation. It's like the whole time as they're walking through this museum being chased by this guy in this night costume, like you just eventually just periodically cut back to this sculpture or whatever. And you just see the eyes darting back and forth. And then the realization at the end that it's the manic, crazed eyes of someone thinking who's gagged, like, for the love of God, help me. Why are you keep running past me? Like,
imagine if this was a Dario Argento film, it would be so horrifying.
It's like, please help me, jeez.
Professor High White!
And all the time, it was Wickles who made that Black Knight come to life.
Then there was no legend.
Positively not. Wickles just used the story to cover up my mysterious disappearance. Somehow he managed to get into the armor down at the train station.
And like on the way to the museum, he made you disappear.
But here's the thing that I think you'll get a kick out of, Dave. Because when they finally reveal that it is him, and they find him, and they rescue him, I'm pretty sure two nights passed that he was tied up. So I was like,
yes,
that dude definitely pissed himself.
They open it up and it's just this rank odor. Like,
well,
oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
They find him because Scooby finds his shoe. And I'm like, wouldn't there be a puddle of piss down there? like Shaggy slips on it when you're running by.
Oh my god, that was a fun revelation. Like, wait, that guy's been in there for like 2 days, just like
yeah. He's just
and why would the guy hang him up in there? Why wouldn't he just like dispose of the? I mean, I guess that's too morbid for Scooby Doo, but it's like, well, you know, why keep that guy at all?
You know what caught me off guard in the episode was well, I don't remember which part this one, but there was a moment where there was Daphne says, "Is that blood on the ground?" And it just surprised me that they said the word blood in the show. I was actually not expecting it. And it turns out to be red paint, but still, I was like, oh my god, they're alluding to like that someone could actually be murdered here. Like that, they said it a little bit more explicitly. So, but well, yeah,
we're like almost 40 minutes in. I guess we should address the plot, Nick. I barely remember it. You seem like you obtained more, or you retained more of the plot information than I did. Why don't you explain 40 minutes into this episode the plot of A Good Night for a Night?
How about okay? Let's. I think it'd be funny if we really funny if we like end with a plot. Just that's it. But it's the plot of this episode. At least it's not really even a plot. It's just like an event. Like this guy is. This doc or professor disappears, and this person uses the suit of the Black Knight to scare people, and he does this to succeed in a art counterfeit operation. And that's it.
We get one of the funniest moments of the episode is when they find this art professor's secret room, his secret forging room.
It's like behind a sarcophagus or something.
Yeah, that's where the blood or paint trail ended. And you just see these two paintings next to each other. One is clearly like being worked on. There's like brush marks and everything, and the other one's complete. And you get this made me laugh because it was so stupid. Like they have this thing where it's like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? It's like, yes, Thelma, you idiot. We're all on board. Even my 5-year-old cousin knows what's going on. They're faking paintings. It's very clear. And I love that Fred goes, there's no time to explain. And it's just like, what? And Shaggy and Scooby are like, I don't get it. It's like, it couldn't be any more clear, even to someone as high as Shaggy and Scooby. And yet they're saying like, you think what I'm thinking?
And look at that! There are two paintings exactly alike! Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Right, Velma. This just about solves the mystery.
It was?
What?
No time to explain now, Shaggy.
It was so painfully obvious. I was almost like, there was a brief moment where I was like, are they going to say something else that it's clearly not forging? They're going to say something completely different. That would be a joke. You know what I mean? But the comedy in this scene comes from how how stupid it is. Oh, man. This is my favorite part of the episode, I think. When it was just so painfully obvious, even to a child, you know, it's just the fact that they go out of their way to be like, you think of what I'm thinking? Just good. I almost, at this point in the episode, I almost broke down and started laughing like a maniacal laugh. Like, I think at this point, the episode kind of broke me.
See, maybe, I think it did that to me earlier, and I just gave myself over.
I wish I could have done that sooner. But yeah, that's basically, when I'm looking at the storyline on ChatDB, while walking home from the movies, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo discover a black suit of armor in a pickup truck, and the gang deliver it to the local museum. The kids later break into the museum to search for clues, after learning that the archaeologist who was transporting the suit is missing, and they find that the knight's armor has come to life. Also, there's a guy forging stuff. Like,
it says that?
No, I added that bit. But I love that it starts with, while walking home from the movies, they discover a black suit of armor in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
You're right, Shaggy. This sure is strange.
Yeah. What's an empty old suit of armor doing in the driver's seat of this pickup?
Maybe he went out for the night. Get it?
It's just they happen upon something, and I get the sense that that's most of the, if not all the episodes. They're just kind of farting around, like, in what looks like a haunted forest. They happen upon something weird looking, and then they go to investigate, and shenanigans ensue.
Hey, you got it.
Yeah. And it turns out it was old Mr. Blank, you know? Which I can't wait to get to our second episode where they meet the Globetrotters. That's the next one we're doing, the first Globetrotters appearance, because the name of the reveal in that one is funny to me. But to be fair to What a Night for a Night, I think and I wrote this down on my notes, like, oh, this is the first old man Blank moment in Scooby-Doo. The name that they chose was pretty funny for this reveal. The first we'll get in the long-running Scooby-Doo series.
It's the curator, Mr. Wickles.
It's Mr. Wickles. Like, I gotta hand it to him. They did choose a funny name for the first Mr. Blank reveal.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, that made me chuckle.
But another thing, yeah. I mean, well, I'll talk about it in another one, but in both these episodes, the gang is like totally breaking into places. Like in the museum, I thought it was so funny because like their first thing is to just go to the back of the museum, and then they were like, why is it locked? And then they were just like, let's go in.
It's okay, we're the mystery machine or the mystery gang or whatever. It's like, it's all right, we have clearance. Oh, man. One other thing I actually kind of enjoyed about this, and this is very, very small, but I miss, and maybe the cartoons still do this. I mean, admittedly, I don't watch like modern day cartoons, but I miss title cards.
Yeah.
For cartoons. Like, we talked about this when we covered Batman the Animated Series. Like, I don't know what it is, but something about that title card, it's like a cool, it's almost like you're looking at a splash page of a comic book. It's like you get cool art, or it could be very minimalist, which is also very cool. And you get the name, title, and I don't know what it is, but that always sets me in the right mood when I watch a cartoon. It's gaining a title card like that.
I agree with you. I think that when they employ something like that, it functions in the same way as in something like Disney movies where it's like a storybook and it opens up and you start reading the page. Yeah. It's like an interesting and unique like entry point into the story. It's like you start out as like a written word almost, and then you transform into the image.
It sets the tone right off the bat. Well, I had two other things I wanted to point out here. One, and this is common for a lot of cartoons of this era, especially Hanna-Barbera, but, you know, obviously they didn't have the biggest budgets. The animation isn't on par with something like, you know, the early Max Fleischer cartoons. They're not doing any rotoscoping here. But one thing, as a result of that, one unintentional bit of comedy that comes from that kind of low-key, you know, lo-fi animation is that oftentimes, when a character is speaking, the other characters just look like they're frozen with what I could only describe as derp faces. Like, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Like, especially when they're driving the van in the beginning, and you just see this frozen, like, weird-looking smirk, half-smile on Fred's face as he's driving, and he is just, like, frozen. Like, I can picture, like, a little buffering icon over the top of his forehead when he's just sitting there.
I think there's especially now, looking back on this show, there's an element that invokes to me like Cabin in the Woods almost of this cartoon. And it's like if we're just not seeing the behind the scenes stuff, but like that there's something like, I don't know, really weird going on in this
like
world.
There's actually nothing behind those eyes of Fred.
Yeah, like Fred is actually like he's a automaton or something.
Is that what you're suggesting? At the series finale of Scooby-Doo, if Scooby-Doo ever ends, it's basically a Cabin in the Woods scenario where they're just pushing these teens through all these scenarios to avoid some sort of weird demonic apocalypse.
I mean, who's to say not?
Maybe that's the reason why Scooby-Doo has endured for so long and is still around, because somebody in some, I don't know, secret society is like, we got to keep cranking out these Scooby-Doo episodes or the devil's going to literally reign over the world.
Yeah. Or even more sinister, maybe that Scooby is actually like an incarnation of a demon. And teens are tasked with subduing him, with distracting him by mysteries and Scooby snacks.
Or, or, it could or, be or. That, Or it could be like that Twilight Zone episode with the kid who has all the powers and makes like the his quote-unquote family like do whatever he wants, and they have to make him happy and stuff. What if Scooby-Doo is essentially that kid? Like, Scooby-Doo has all these powers. He can make anything come to be. And if someone displeases him, he can like flash them out of existence. What if that's why all the characters look blank and dead inside, because they're basically just pawns in this crazy Scooby-Doo's like fantasies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Scooby-Doo.
He's forcing them against their will to partake in.
I mean, I think there's an implication here because of how Scooby acts. It's a facade hiding the truth that you're talking about.
Scooby-Doo is merely a facade.
Or something much more sinister.
Oh, God. And, let's leave it there. I had one other bit, but I'll save it for the next episode, a revelation that I had watching this. That'll be your incentive, folks, to stick around for the next Scooby-Doo episode. Because if you're anything like me, this was kind of a miserable experience.
If you're interested to hear more reasons why Dave hates Scooby-Doo, tune in next time.
Tune in next time to the next Saturday Morning Apocalypse, where we'll talk about... Well, before we wrap up, Nick, did you have any other closing thoughts? I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
When Saturday Morning Apocalypse returns, we'll be back with more Scooby-Doo in the movies, the new movies, with Ghostly Creep from the Deep.
Now, I've heard that with their bad luck with flat tires, the gang has started buying spares in 10-packs, you know, like batteries. I'm only telling you what I heard. Scooby-Doo, we'll be right back.